genuinely puzzled. Stickies were accepted to be one of the greatest and most dangerous scourges of all Deathlands. Over the years, he had lost a number of good companions to their rending, suckered hands. They moved in loosely knit tribes, often coming out of nowhere to raid isolated vills or lonely homes. Their chief pleasure was to inflict pain on norms, particularly if it could be linked to bright fires or shattering explosions. Fear of Stickies was understandable. But Mitchell Springs seemed well-run, and most of the adult males carried blasters. So why were they frightened of a handful of the muties?
Before we get down to the nuts and bolts of this deal, how about you telling us why you don't go and wipe out these Stickies yourselves? There has to be something you aren't telling us.
No, not really. Oh boy, not really. Really.
You ain't dealing with Triple Stoop, Sandy Shepherd. By God, you ain't. If you don't tell him, then I sure as shit in a hole will.
All right. Tell him then, Maggie. Tell him. Yeah, see what happens.
Tell us, Maggie. Tell us why you're all so scared of less than two hands of Stickies.
The deal was struck. 20 gallons of gas for each Sticky head, paid in advance, pumped into the echoing tanks, and a room and food for two nights in Mitchell Springs. It was dusk, and Ryan and JB had just finished a dish of home-fried potatoes and thick slices of wild pig with a sauce of cinnamon and apples.
Good. Belly full of decent chow, and I'm ready to go and carry out some cleansing.
JB was staring out of the ill-fitting window at the light flakes of snow that were blowing by, carried on the back of a rising norther.
Yeah, but...
You want out of this?
No. We got paid, so...
The shitting sickness.
Yeah, it's bad any day of the red blasted week. But when you get the special pick-em-up-and-knock-em-down sticky version...
Better than 99% terminal.
So they say...
But we can find a good place tomorrow morning, scout their camp, 4 miles to the west, out back of an old hospital, and use the Steyr and the Uzi if they come at us. No way any of the poor bastards can come close enough to infect us. We don't have to go in among them.
Guess not.
What?
They could do this. How come they're so frightened? I reckon they've had a run-in with the Stickies and maybe lost folks to the shitting sickness. Make sense to you?
Could be. No point in wondering. We know what we have to do, where we have to go to do it.
Morning brought platters of fish chowder and thick slices of fresh baked bread, a crock of salted butter, and a glass jar of strawberry preserve. JB eased his leather belt open a notch.
Could drag this out for another 3 days and still have time to tie up with Trader.
There was a faint sound at the outside of the door of their hut. Ryan glanced across at JB, who moved silently to pick up the Uzi. He drew his own Sig Sauer, then stepped over to the door, flattening himself against the white-painted log wall.
Who is it?
Me, Maggie. Open up quick before anyone sees me coming to call.
The old woman limped in, her hair covered in a dark blue shawl, a layer of snow dusting it. She gestured for Ryan to push the door shut.
What do you want?
I'm a Christian woman, Outlander. And I can feel the good Lord a-tapping on my shoulder, whispering in my ear at night, telling me that it's close to my time. Race is near run, and I ain't going to stand before his gold throne unless I'm full justified. Won't have deaths on my conscience.
Is this about the muties?
Stoop. You and one eye hair. Not that losing an eye makes you any less fancy, mister. If I was a year or two younger, I'd gladly have let you park your boots under my bed.
You trying to tell us that the good folk plan to chill us? After we do the job for them?
Course. They'll get your pretty blasters and their gas returned and that hunk of armor steel parked out back. Now I told you, and I'm going out again.
How? When?
The armorer glanced out of the window into the blurred mix of sleet and snow that was falling steadily over the ville.
For me to know and you to guess. For a shrimp, you ain't so bad looking neither.
What now, bro?
Well, we could be well warmed with her if we wanted it. One of those old ladies that I somehow believed right out. How about you?
Yeah, so?
We go and chill the Stickies. Come back and watch our backs. Don't stay a second night. Head out in the wag. Sound like a plan?
Yeah. This is too easy.
JB put his hand over his mouth to check the plumes of breath steaming out into the bitterly cold morning. The Stickies' camp was a collection of ragged tents and brushwood huts, built in the lee of what had probably been the main south wall of the old veterans' hospital. It was the only section of the scattered complex of buildings still standing, the rest of them having been destroyed either by nuking or by earth movements in the following years. Ryan and JB had worked their way within 50 yards, close enough to smell the fires that smoldered in several places around the squalid site. They'd been waiting, hidden in some snow-covered ferns, watching and counting.
I count eight.
Yeah, six men, one female and one toddler. We taking a woman and child out?
Why not? That's what we're paid for. You know what Trader used to say about Stickies?
Of course. The boar and the sow and the cubs. Today's cubs are tomorrow's boars.
The way they look down there, I reckon another 3 days or so we'll see them all dead from the sickness.
The sickness was glaringly obvious. Even in the short time they'd been watching, two of the male Stickies had crawled from their shelters, dragging themselves through the snow, helplessly throwing up. The woman had walked unsteadily toward the hidden norms, squatting less than 10 yards away from them, voiding a stinking mess of foul liquid. After she'd returned to rejoin the other Stickies, Ryan rubbed his finger along the stock of the hunting rifle.
Could tell them we've done it.
They might come take a look.
We'll be gone.
True.
Neither of them liked killing for the sake of it. Stickies were the most vicious and murderous breed of muties in the land, and it would normally be a positive relief to see a tribe of them, however small, down and dead in the dirt. But these poor, staggering creatures were so wretched, tainted by the killer disease, that it seemed pointless to butcher them. Admittedly, they'd taken the load of gas as a part of the deal, but if the victims were dying anyway, Ryan felt no compunction in screwing the cowardly folk of Mitchell Springs.
We should put them out of their misery.
Yeah, I guess so. We might as well do it.
He eased the rifle's walnut stock to his shoulder, squinting through the starlight nightscope with the laser image enhancer, waiting for the moment when most of the eight would be out in the open. At such short range, he figured that it was highly unlikely that he'd need to use all of the SSG-70's 10 7.62 rounds.
Want me to fire a burst and bring them out from cover?
I could do.
There was a gust of wind blowing from the surrounding mountains, whisking up a flurry of the frozen, lying snow. Ryan waited until it had settled before getting ready to give the signal to the armorer.
No.
What?
Ryan kept the rifle to his shoulder, the sight centered on the chest of the little toddler.
Over there.
Ryan lowered the gun and moved his head slowly to look in the direction that the armorer had pointed, seeing that they were no longer the only players in the game of living and dying. The first light of the false dawn jerked Abe awake. Sharp pain racked his shoulders, elbows, wrists, and thighs. The tying had been done well enough to cramp every muscle and tendon in his body. It was like liquid fire coursing through every vein, scorching his heart and lungs when he tried to find a less agonizing position. One of the gang had come out sometime in the previous hour and spat on him, gloating over the helpless prisoner, warning him of the pleasures to come once they got him back to their homeville in the hills.
Jesse got Ken and sent us after you and the old bastard. We'll get him and all. Blood for blood's what we swear by.
If Abe could have gone back a ways and altered time, he might have decided not to bother setting out after Traitor at all. It seemed there'd been not much more than hardship, chilling, blood and running. Now, it was going to be the end of him. Despite the biting cold and the swirling pain, Abe slithered back into a kind of sleep.
Come on, Ryan.
The voice in his ear, breath hot, tickled him, making Abe wince away from the speaker.
Fuck off. Quiet, or we both by the farm. They beat you bad, Ryan, have they?
Traitor? Not you?
Yeah.
I'm not Ryan.
What?
Not Ryan.
Who is?
Me.
Who are you? Fuck that.
Traitor shifted, the butt of his beloved Armalite scraping on the rocks that Abe had been leaning against. Abe was sliding inexorably toward the ragged edge of panic. Since meeting up again with Traitor, he'd noticed several times that the old man was not quite so sharp as he'd once been, subject to the occasional lapse of concentration or memory. Normally, it didn't matter that much. Right now, it could easily get both of them butchered by the sleeping gang, only a few paces away.